Hello, everyone. So we're going to get started today. So my name is Mehdi Slawi-Ndelousi. I'm part of the customer success team for Power Apps. So what we get to do is see all of the fun apps and all of the amazing stuff our customers are doing on a daily basis, building apps for many, many scenarios in their enterprise. So part of what we learn really, today's talk is actually inspired from some of the learnings and things that we observed as we were looking at their apps and the way they are actually using the platform. So it assumes that you are familiar with Power Apps, that you know the language, and that you have been building apps for a while. So this talk is really about how to kind of get the last mile optimization from your apps. So hopefully you guys are all familiar with Power Apps. Clicker. So I'm going to start with a simple example. Today's demo, what I'm going to show really is what happens behind the scene when you bind your UI to data when you are working with Power Apps. So the typical scenario is you will have a gallery control or some sort of UI really bound to a table. In our case here, I have a simple relationship between a project and an owner. So every project in here has an owner, so we have a lookup relationship that we'll have to implement to render this this UI. I'm going to switch to my studio here. And show really how what's that?
Yeah, this is computer number one and this is computer number two.
Sorry. Yeah. All right, so this is the studio. You must be familiar with it, I presume. So as you can see, I have a regular gallery control bound to a table, project table. So it has priority names. It's a very simple scenario of displaying project items. And for every project, you have an owner right here. Again, if you're familiar with the Power Apps, you'll recognize this formula here. You have a straight lookup to an owner table in order to fetch the name. So very straightforward operation. But behind the scene, there's a lot of things happening in order to make this happen. So I want to show the app just in real time. And I want to display actually the HTTP trace so that we see what's going on when we make the request from Power Apps. So I'm going to refresh this page. And it's loading. We have a slow connection here, but we'll see here the HTTP traces of Power Apps. Make sure we are staying here. And you notice how the project got rendered, and you see there is a little bit of delay for the names to appear, so project owner names to show up. It takes a little bit of time, but you can see clearly here that we did load our collections. We loaded the project table, and then we loaded the owner for each one of the projects. So typically, what users do is this. So they bind the project as we saw, and behind the scene, we see that Power Apps actually made a call to the project table right here, and it fetched the first 100 items, and then it started calling every single item that we see in that gallery. It started calling the owner table, so it's another query. So you can see here we had about 16 calls. We downloaded about 23,000 bytes, and it took a while for this. In this particular case, 30 seconds. So it's quite a bit, and we're gonna contrast this to another way of approaching data loading for Power Apps. So I'm gonna switch back here. And I'm going to switch back to my presentation real quick. So rather than loading everything the way we did before by binding directly to a gallery, what I'm doing here is I'm actually downloading the project table into a local collection, and I'm doing that for the owner table. So basically, I'm doing local caching, and there is a gotcha here. There is a cap to how many items you can download. But at the very least, if you know that you are going to be downloading a very small amount of data, 2,000 items or less, this way of doing things might end up being a better approach. So I'm going to show real quick how it works. So I have here basically the two statements that are allowing me to fetch data from my project database and from the owner table. Notice that I also have the opportunity to toggle the visibility of a loader. This is just to improve the experience, and I'm going to refresh my app here. This is the updated version of the app that's using this. Notice that I'm actually doing a loader experience, which is always a nice thing from a user's perspective, versus the other way of doing it, which lets the user not really be aware of what's going on until the data loaded. The other thing that you notice is that everything appeared at once, so that also ends up being a much better user experience. So I'm going to just go back to Fiddler here and show the difference between the two approaches. So as you can see, we had only two network calls. As you notice, we actually fetched 500 items versus 100 items that the gallery, the previous example showed. So if I actually show the network call here, it took about 2 seconds to render. So the network here is not very consistent. So typically what we see is that this method is actually about a second and a half faster to cache your data versus actually making those network calls to the owner table. And the reason that's happening is because like for every single call we have this overhead, and when we have multiple calls we have an overhead in returning the data for every single item. So rather than doing that, we can see here that we have only two calls that were performed, and it was a much faster experience. The other thing is that we had the opportunity to show the loader experience. And again, this always translates to a better user experience. So often, when we go and optimize some apps, we look at ways for us to kind of filter the data down so that's a reasonable amount. And we typically try our best to load it up front, and then that give us usually the opportunity to show a loading experience. I'm going to switch back to another example here. So the same example I gave earlier, where we were actually loading data from server, but another optimization that you could consider for your app is caching your data locally. So that helps usually, so basically storing data in your devices. So that helps usually with that second time experience when the user comes back to the app and then they have their data ready to go. So what I'm showing here is basically I'm trying to load data from my device. I might or might not find that data. Say we don't find the data, we do the regular loading experience, which is basically fetching data from servers. In our case here, we're using SQL, but everything I'm saying here is basically applicable to data sources like SharePoint or CDS. So we're fetching data from servers, we're storing it locally right here, and then we are proceeding to saving the data locally for the next iteration, so for the next user that comes, for that same user coming back to the app. Second time the user comes, they're going to find data in projects and owner because we're loading that right here. And then the UI will be refreshed right away. So you will see an instantaneous loading of the data at that point because we have the data in your own local devices. So this ends up being a much better experience. And sometimes you might have an offline scenario that goes hand in hand with this. So if you are implementing offline scenario for your app, you could take advantage of that feature to improve even your user perception of how the app is performing. So the next thing here is a concurrent call. So we have seen a lot of those real world situation where customers and trying to kind of squeeze in the most out of the platform. Today, the platform doesn't allow you to do really truly concurrent calls. And one way to do that today is to use timers. I don't usually recommend doing this just because it becomes harder to maintain. But it does help in case you need to make a parallel calls for your APIs. The product team is working on a function that's going to look something similar to this. So it's going to come soon. But it will basically allow you to make a concurrent call for your APIs or for your data sources. So running parallel is coming soon. But for now, what we see here is that I'm setting up timer 1 and 2. Each one of them will trigger at a certain point, making an API call, and the data might come back at a different time. And that's why you have a final timer that keeps checking whether the data is back. So there are some features that are out of the box that you can see in the experimental feature. Delayed load is one that I suggest turning on. Currently, when this is turned off, Power Apps will evaluate every single expression that you have throughout your screens. So one idea here is to turn on this flag, which basically will tell Power Apps to only execute functions and expressions that are on the home screen or the first screen that you are in. Anything else will be executed at the time where you get to the page. So often what we see is that people will have bindings all over the app to actual data sources, and they all get called as soon as the app gets started. So this allows you to delay that. There is also another feature, experimental feature, called explicit column selection that can help boost your performance. It only works for SQL right now, but the idea there is that you will only, so Power Apps will do some reflection and kind of iterate through your app and understand which columns are actually being used in your app. So in the situation where you have a database with multiple columns, but you're not really using some of those data stored in those columns, the only data that's going to be coming back from the database, from the source here, data source, is really the data that's going to be used with Power Apps. So explicit column selection is the one I'm talking about right now. Before I actually go to the next screen, the last item here is you can see here, you can set a max number today by default when we fetched our data from the server using the clear collect method. You notice that it actually gave us only the 5 first-handed items. And that sometimes might not be the ideal situation. You might want to increase that to 2,000 items if you are in that range. Clear Collect has that maximum. The query that you're going to be calling is going to have up to 2,000 items. So if you find yourself like 500 is, you really have a database with have a bit more than 500 items, you might want to increase this value. And the max there is 2,000. So another thing that we see often is formulas. Here is a simple example. It's something that someone needs to review as they are going on their final review for the apps. So we see often things like a filter operation with a profile being pulled or an API call right here. And each time someone do a sort or a search, the Office 365 API in this example will actually be triggered. So there is a lot that can be done just from looking at your formulas and filters and sort operations in order to optimize. In this particular example, the alternative is to simply encapsulate that call into a current user email. So you would be calling this particular function maybe on your own visible of that page or on your own start. You know that your profile is not going to change during this session or unlikely to change. So you save that value into a variable, and then you can go ahead and do your formula here. But this, what I'm showing here is something we see often, and it ends up actually really impacting performance of your apps. Another example, it's a simple example again. I've seen this many times. You have a first and a filter. A filter operation would always go and get a bunch of data. So it's a collection of data that comes out of a filter. So you will have some sort of condition. People will do filter projects, and then they will get all of that collection from the database or from the data source, and then they will take only the first item. And typically, it's always better to do a lookup operation in this particular case, just because you're going to get one item. I'm often surprised how often I see that first statement, and in fact, a simple change can make a big difference as well here. So formulas, it's something that also can impact your performance, and it's something to take into account when you're working with Power Apps formulas there. So file optimization is a given. So we all did the HTML development. People tend to forget to compress images. That's something I do myself. It's always a good thing to compress your asset, whether it's videos or images. If you know that you're not going to use transparency, use JPEG. Put your images in a CDN. That way you make use of all of the geolocation stuff so that actually the data gets loaded quickly for the user. There is some opportunities for you to also preload assets within your app. You could use gallery control in a transparency mode in order to force trigger all of the images calls to your images. So you force the network call, and then what's happened is that those images will start getting downloaded on the background. And then by the time someone gets to a page or a screen where the image is needed, then it's going to be available for them. So preloading asset is always also a good thing to take into account here. Today, that's another thing that people need to be aware of, and it's documented in our documentation, but it's sometimes overlooked. If you're doing a massively, if you're going to scale your application to a thousand and thousands of users, know that there is a throttling that's happening in our connectors. We have today we support up to 600 requests per minute per user. That gives you plenty, but it is a limit that someone needs to build their app, and keep that in mind. And you can do up to 30 concurrent calls per user. So. And finally, controls. This is something that's going to impact more your app maker experience. The more control you're going to have in your studio, the heavier your app is going to be. And there is often ways for you to find better approaches or more economical approaches in order to minimize the number of controls that you have in a page. An example here is just the use of gallery control rather than the canvas control. In order to display something similar to this, where typically you would want maybe a data control, a canvas control with data cards in them, but in reality you could drive a gallery control to show or hide element depending on the schema that you define yourself. The end result is that you have a template that has about maybe 6 controls versus a canvas control that could have had that same numbers of controls times the number of cards that you might have. So you could go from 6 controls on your screen to about 40, 50 controls if you have just 5-6 cards. So using like approaches like that will minimize the number of controls in your screen. So at runtime, you will have DOM, like it's HTML at the end of the day, so it will have less DOM elements to render on the screen. So I think that's about it. Thank you. I'm 2 minutes short, so if someone have a question, anything, happy to. Thank you.